bought a relatively small portion of this algae oil for the Navy. The Navy identified the requirements that they were looking for, and this is for testing and certification program that the Navy is doing, and Rick can get into the details on that. But DESC, Defense Energy Support Center, served as the contracting office for this initiative. We do a lot of buying for the military and federal civilian agencies worldwide on various energy commodities and services, and this is just another one that we were asked to procure for the Navy. But basically, we worked with the customers and had their requirement defined very specifically what they were looking for, the type of product, the specification, their delivery dates. And then we went ahead and issued a solicitation identifying those requirements. And we had a few offers that came in for this particular requirement, and we went through a pretty comprehensive technical evaluation to make sure that everyone met the requirements that they were stating. We had people who went out and visited the facilities to ensure that the requirements could be met. And then basically we went through a technically acceptable low-cost evaluation process, and the end result was an award to the company by the name of Solazyme.
And they produce biofuels, Solazyme.
That is correct.
And so tell us about the algae oil, Mr. Kamen. Tell us how it operates and why it's a better alternative than petroleum oil.
Okay, well, what we're looking at algae oil for is part of the Navy's energy strategy is looking at, you know, energy security and environmental stewardship. A couple benefits of algae oil is it has a potential for a very high yield per acre than other biocrops. And really what we're looking to be able to do is manufacture or refine the algae oil into a finished product for our ships and or aircraft. There really is a drop-in replacement for petroleum.
And so if you could explain how the algae oil operates, is it something that is... do you create it, or does the algae, you know, somehow churn down the petroleum product, or how does it work exactly that the algae is part of this process?
What the company does is it actually grows the algae, and then from the algae they extract the oil from the algae, and the algae has about a 60-70% of the algae itself is the oil, and from that extracted oil it goes through a series of refining processes to make a finished jet or ship propulsion fuel.
And so the thinking is that it's is it lower cost of energy to produce the finished fuel product starting with algae than it is with petroleum?
Well, at this point in time, it's still in the development stages, but what we're looking to do is expand our pool as we try to remove or lessen our reliance on petroleum oil. And this gives us one of additional options to sort of increase the pool, per se, of potential products. And from this product, you know, not only do we have something that can be grown, you know, and, you know, made in this country, it also has a potential environmental benefit. It is from the production to actual use, it can reduce the greenhouse gas emissions.
And fuel for a jet engine is very different than a fuel for a diesel engine, say, or a gasoline engine that you might have on a, say, a vessel. So can algae be turned into all those types of fuels or just jet fuel?
Actually, it can be processed into either a diesel fuel for a ship or a kerosene fuel for an aircraft. The algae oil really doesn't know where its end state will be. That's all part of the refining process, just like you take a petroleum crude oil and you can make any product like that. So the algae oil actually can go through the same type of process. It can be made to either type of fuel.
And Mr. Iden, can you talk about cost of production for petroleum oil versus algae oil? Can you give us a cost comparison between the use of the two?
Yeah, well, that's a very key point, and Rick mentioned it a little bit, that we're in the beginning development stages. There are very few producers at this point, and the volumes that we're buying are very small for the testing and certification process. So it's not unusual to see prices at, you know, at $50, $100, $150 a gallon in these very limited, you know, test runs that we're doing at this point. Obviously, as we scale up and look to get larger volumes of fuel, it's going to have to be cost competitive with the current petroleum prices. But we are doing this not only with algae oil, but with also a number of other alternative and synthetic type fuels. And it's all part of this process, as Rick mentioned. We're trying to release or reduce that dependence that we have on foreign oil. And so we need to start now. We're working with a number of producers to try and gin this market up and prove that these fuels are acceptable alternatives. A lot of good success, but again, in this developmental stage, the prices are rather high at this point.
And would you say algae is one of the lead competitors?
It is certainly one, but again, this is the very beginning process we're doing right now. We've just awarded the contract. It looks very promising, but there are several other technologies out there, and the point right now is we're not trying to steer or guide this into one direction or the other. It's in the beginning phases with multiple fuels. We're looking at various processes, and you know, these things will sort themselves out as time goes on. The key is going to be for the future is where these businesses can ramp up and to get into full production level. They're going to have to be cost competitive, and they're going to have to produce volumes not only for DOD but for the civilian sector. The commercial airlines are very interested in these alternatives also.
We're talking with Rick Kamen. He is the Navy Fuels Lead at the Naval Aviation Systems Command, and with Mark Iden. He's Deputy Director of Operations at the Defense Energy Support Center. And I was wondering, have you actually tested this particular fuel in an engine yet? And I imagine you would test it on the ground before flying an aircraft with it.
Oh, absolutely. And we have not put this fuel in an engine yet. We're just getting actually our first 5 gallons of test fuel this week, and that'll go through a series of laboratory tests. And really what we have in place is an extensive test and certification protocol that takes you from the laboratory to ground testing to eventually to either an aircraft or a ship. It's a very rigorous process to make sure that we can approve these type of fuels to put into our ultimate goals, to put into our specifications, so DESC then can procure them for us when they become cost effective.
How long does it take to grow enough algae to produce, say, a gallon of fuel? I'm not even envisioning the process. I'm thinking about fungus growing on my shower as an example. But, I mean, how long does that process take?
That I really don't have all the details on,
yeah,
to be honest with you, but we are over the next year going to procure, as part of the contract says, 20,000 gallons of fuel, and that's really on a small scale. I think as they scale these processes up, the goals of any type of company who's making a biofuel is to be able to manufacture at a rate that, you know, they can make a considerable dent into what the fuel that the Navy buys.
But Solazyme and companies like it, they grow this in an outdoor environment. They must have ponds that they grow algae in, right? I mean, it's a natural type of process?
It's a natural type of process. There's three different ways, to my knowledge, that you can actually grow the algae. One is in an open pond. A second is what they call a bioreactor, which is sort of a closed system. And the third is actually growing algae in the dark, believe it or not.
And there's also Jane's shower, too. If
yeah,
all,
I've got
all
plenty
our
of it. If you
fail.
Like some, I can lend you a little.
Well, it sounds fascinating, and we wish you luck.
Thank you very much.
It's interesting that all these sources of oil production are out there, or fuel production, I guess we should put it that way. It isn't just oil. You know, it can be any number
products,
of things. Switchgrass,
yeah.
And, you know, they're just all of these possible sources of fuel material, and they're really just now beginning to explore that which could take the place of oil. What will we do with all the oil that's left in the ground? I'm sure that someday, eventually, we'll dig that back up again.
We could tell Saudi Arabia to go take a hike, maybe. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Gentlemen, thank you so much
for joining
us.
Listen, will you come back when you've burned some of it in an engine? We'd like to hear how it went.
No problem.